Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Have you ever heard the saying, dog is man's best friend? I've heard it from my family all my life, and it's true. I've always been a dog person. I know how to raise them, and I've never given up on any of them, no matter how psychologically abused they were when we found them on the street.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But so much trust and love for dogs would bring its consequences because I would find something that would take advantage of that. You know, I still believe that dog is man's best friend. Because whatever I had in my house might have looked like a dog, but it definitely wasn't one. It all started on a weekday, on my way home from work. It was winter, and I had recently moved out on my own to the house my aunt and uncle had left me before they went to live in Europe. It was very cold, and I could only wait to get home when I saw him. A few blocks away, I felt that someone was watching me from behind, but every time I turned around, I saw no one. I kept walking faster and faster, more and more scared. I was sure someone was walking behind me, but I couldn't see or hear anyone. It was as if a shadow was stalking me. Once I got home, I quickly looked for my keys in my purse, but I couldn't find them. I was standing at the door of my house, nervously checking my bag, while that shadow was getting closer and closer, stalking me. When I found the keys, I was about to put them in and open the door, but it was too late. Whatever had been following me was behind me, expectantly. Terrified, not knowing what to expect, I slowly turned around. As I finished turning around, I had to duck my head. It was a dog. When I saw it, I calmed down a lot. How could I have been so frightened by a dog following me? Had I been so suggestible from living alone that I was getting scared of something so familiar? As easy as it was to sneak up behind me, the dog was really huge. It was one of the biggest dogs I have ever seen in my life. He was hunched over, which was normal for his size. He definitely had a back problem. The dog just stared at me with an innocent and generous face. Despite his size, I didn't feel intimidated at all, as it was very easy to tell that he was a friendly dog. I noticed that he had no collar and was quite dirty. This dog had definitely been missing for a long time. I decided to take him into my home and care for him until I could find him a shelter. Although if no one was willing to adopt him, I would. As soon as he entered the house, he started jumping uncontrollably with happiness. I'm not going to lie to you, it was quite tender, but it also seemed strange. Normally, dogs react a little more cautiously when they enter a new house, especially if they have been on the street for a long time. But not this dog. He was happy, jumping up and down as if he had lived there forever. Despite my surprise, I didn't worry or anything. I just took him to the yard and left him outside while I looked for something to feed him. I found some chicken in the fridge and I put it on a plate with some vegetables that I was sure he would like. Luckily, I knew what vegetables dogs could eat and what vegetables they couldn't, so I was pretty confident in what I could give him. I walked to the yard with the food in my hand, thinking about the shots I would have to give him the next day, when I saw something that surprised me so much that it made the food fall over. The dog was not in the yard, and the door leading to the little house where I kept my birds was open. I ran to it and didn't see the dog either. Instead, I saw all the empty bird cages. There were feathers everywhere. Had the dog eaten them? But how was that possible? It was impossible for a dog to open the door, get in and open the bird cage in such a short time. In fact, it was impossible for a dog to open the door of the cage even with all the time in the world. Scared and confused, I went back to my house looking for the dog everywhere. I was confused where he had gone. What kind of dog would be capable of such a thing? When I raised my head a few steps later, the answer came by itself. The dog was in my house, waiting for me, staring at me. His look had changed. He was no longer playful or friendly. He was looking at me with a terrified face as if I was his prey. I noticed, for the first time, something in his eyes. They had changed. They were as red as fire, and his gaze was determined and cold. As soon as our eyes met, something happened that I could never have imagined could happen. The dog. The dog was standing on two legs without any effort. Its lips were raised, like a dog waiting to growl. But there was something else. They were too raised. I could see all his gums and sharp teeth. No dog I ever had was capable of doing something like that. As I stood in shock at what I was witnessing, the dog walked slowly towards me. At first, I thought he was walking like that because it was hard for him to walk. After all, he was a dog. But just by watching him for a few seconds, I realized that this was not the case. He was walking like that on purpose. He was approaching me, calculating his every move. I was his prey, and he was intimidating me. That looked like a dog, but there was no way it was one. It was neither a dog, nor an animal, nor a human. It was something impossible to describe, and I was its prey. I thought about running towards the entrance of the house, but it was impossible. The monster had put itself there on purpose. It was getting closer and closer, and I had to make a quick decision. I couldn't go to the yard. The fences were too high, and even if I managed to jump over, the neighbor had a dangerous trained dog that would surely attack and kill me. Desperate, I ran down the stairs and locked myself in a room. While I was thinking about where to hide, I began to feel violent knocks on the door, which was destroyed in a few seconds. It was the monster. Little by little, it seemed less like a dog and more like a humanoid. Its hair was falling out, revealing a strange gray skin. Its posture was becoming more and more human, but it still looked like a wild animal. The monster lunged wildly at me, trying to grab me with its huge, sharp teeth. My only reaction was to jump out of the window and fall from the second floor. From the floor, I tried to get up, but I couldn't move my feet. The pain was too much. Suddenly, I heard all the neighbors approaching to help me. I began to lose consciousness from the shock. Soon after, I woke up in the hospital. I had to lie about what I had experienced. No one would believe me anyway. Shortly after, I returned home and investigated what I saw that day. It is said to be a shapeshifter, terrifying beings that impersonated animals to attack their prey. Although everywhere they said it is a legend and that they do not exist, I saw one that day. Although I never saw it again, now I let my instinct guide me a little more. You never know when behind eyes as cute and pure as those of a tender dog, a killing machine may be hiding. Hello everyone. We are thrilled that you have been enjoying our videos. Your support means the world to us. If you've liked what you've seen, please consider liking and subscribing to our channel. We would love to hear which one of our videos is your favorite. We're on a mission to reach 100,000 members in the SSG family, and with your help, we can achieve that goal. Thank you for being a part of our journey.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It had been a week since my Laura went missing. The cops were looking everywhere for my daughter. And I was at home praying to dear Jesus to get my kid back to me. Her little boy, my grandson, was with me too. And it was heartbreaking to see him stare at the door, waiting for his mom to walk through it. That's when the phone rang in the afternoon. My husband, Jacob, was out there, trying his best to find his baby girl. I picked up the call.
"I've got her,"
a deep male voice said from the other end, and hung up. For a few seconds, I was just standing there with the receiver in my hand, making sense of what had just happened. Her kidnapper had called. I did the sensible thing and called the cops and my husband, informing them about the call. Since that week, every Wednesday afternoon, mostly when I was all alone in the house or with my grandson, the phone rang, and the same man either told me that he had Laura or he had already killed her. But why would anyone want to harm my sweet daughter. As a mother, the most important thing for you is the safety and happiness of your child. So when your kid is in danger or goes missing, it's the most terrifying and heartbreaking thing in the world. It all started in January 1980. My grandson Abel had just turned 4, and Laura, my daughter, was working as a secretary at 2 jointly owned stores. She was a Catholic, God-fearing single mother. Her son was her entire world, and she loved him a lot. Whenever she was working, I and my husband used to look after him. One day, while she was working, she received a phone call.
I hope I've reached Laura Scott.
Yes, this is her. Who are you, sir?
I'm your lover, darling.
When Laura heard those words, her first reaction was disbelief. She thought someone was pranking her.
I'm sorry, but I do not have a lover, and this is an office, so please do not prank call here again.
Saying that, she hung up. Days passed, and she again got a phone call in her office.
Is this Laura Scott?
Yes, this is her. How may I help you, sir?
You hung up the phone last time, bitch. I told you I loved you, and you hung up the phone. You insulted me, and now I'm going to kill you. Watch out, my love. I'm going to end you.
With that, the line went silent. Laura sat there in her office, shocked and unable to process what had just happened. As it was just the second call, she ignored it. But soon the frequency of these calls increased, and the mysterious man who always refused to reveal his identity and always addressed himself as Laura's lover. I and my husband Jacob knew that Laura had no steady boyfriend, as she was mostly occupied with her job and then looking after her son. She did go on a few dates, but nothing more than that would ever happen. One evening when the four of us were in my house about to start dinner, the phone rang, and Laura picked it up.
Hello, darling.
The expression on Laura's face told us immediately who the caller was. Before she could get a word out, the man said something.
Would you mind going out and checking your car? I have a surprise for you, sweetheart.
Laura hung up the phone, and she ran to her car, followed by Jacob. There they found a dead rose on the windshield. After that incident, we called the cops and told them everything about the phone calls and the dead rose. Although they agreed to cooperate, they couldn't do much at that stage, as no one knew who the caller was. But the phone calls didn't stop. He threatened Laura for calling the cops. He also declared his undying love and lust for her. When this became overwhelming, Jacob suggested she bear a firearm with her, a small gun. Laura also enrolled in karate classes for her own safety. Exactly a week after that, Laura and one of her colleagues took a third colleague to an emergency room as he had a spider bite. When Laura went to get out of the car to the front of the hospital so the three of them could go back to the office, instead of stopping by the hospital's main door, the car drove off. Due to the bright flashlights, none of her colleagues could see who was driving the car. That was on May 28, 1980, the day my daughter got abducted. Hours after this incident, she was reported missing. And a week later, I started getting those terrifying calls from the perpetrator himself. So the news spread like wildfire, and on June 12, 1980, the day when Laura's case was covered by the local newspaper called the Orange County Register, an unidentified man called the front desk and confessed to killing my daughter.
I killed her. I killed Laura Scott. She was my love. I caught her cheating with another man. She denied having someone else. So I killed her and chopped her body into small pieces so that no one will ever find her.
The man said before hanging up. The investigation continued, but neither Laura was found nor her killer were arrested on that day or the days following it. The call to the editor of the newspaper was the last time the murderer ever contacted anyone. After that, the calls to our house stopped, and the case ran cold. 4 years had passed, and my grandson was 8 now. He was living with us. Jacob got a call from the sheriff's office that they had found something, and we were called to the office immediately. They had found some human bones on a construction site a few miles away from the hospital where Laura was last seen. I was devastated, and after they ran a DNA test, it was confirmed that my daughter had perished and probably died a painful death. 30 years later, here I am in a retirement home, waiting for justice to be served for my only daughter. My husband, Jacob, passed away in the late 1990s, leaving me to look after my grandson. It's heartbreaking to lose a family member, let alone to an unidentified psychopath. All I hope is for her to rest in peace wherever she is. God bless her soul. And if anyone of you watching this story has any information about the killer, please contact me or my grandson. This story was a dramatized version of the real abduction and murder of Dorothy Jane Scott, who lived in Anaheim, California. According to the statements given by the detective investigating her case, it seemed like a case of unrequited love. And even after 50 years, the murderer was never caught.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But it seemed like the doing of a psychopath.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.